Welcome to the Biology of Trauma podcast, the show that provides professionals with the knowledge and tools for effective, science-based solutions for the trauma healing journey. I am your host, Dr. Amy, and I've done the hard work so you can stop your endless searching, have a roadmap for your own work, and be able to help others more powerfully. Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I am your host, Dr. Amy. This is part two of the conversation with Gabor Mate and I on trauma and chronic illness. I teach how to recognize trauma stored in our body through patterns, pattern recognition. We're talking about one of those patterns in this episode, disconnection. Trauma disconnects us from ourselves and others. The disconnection is both a feature and contributes to dysregulation, which drives disease. Yet, there is so much that we can do. As trauma does become the pattern in our nervous system, reconnection and regulation are possible. We are covering that and more here. In this episode, we're answering the question, how can we repair the disconnection that causes disease? And here's what you will learn. How disconnection is actually a survival adaptation. The mistake I made and how I learned the need to titrate our interventions or therapy. Why 80% of autoimmune disorders happen to women. Why we have to change our relationship in the world to heal our diseases. And Gabor's personal practice of staying connected with himself. Listen in as we continue our conversation in this part two on trauma and chronic illness. Gabor, I know you wanted to talk about what happens when we experience trauma. I'd love to hear your viewpoint on that subject.
Here's what we need to make a point about trauma, is that the essence of trauma is a disconnection from yourself. Trauma is not what happens to you. Your teacher and my teacher and friend, Peter Levine, he's the one that pointed this out, and that trauma is not the external event that happens to you. It's your body's response to what happens to you. And when people are being stressed and traumatized and they're young children and there's no one there to hold you in that pain or that stress, there's a wisdom in the trauma, is that you disconnect from yourself because it's unbearable to stay connected. That disconnection then creates all kinds of problems later on, but it comes along originally as an adaptive mechanism. So the trauma is both a wound. That's what the word actually means, is a wound. So trauma is not whether you're abused or your parents don't know how to love you or your parents are troubled or addicted or violent with each other. Those are not the traumas. Those are the traumatic events that evoke the trauma. But the trauma is what happens inside you and begins with that very disconnection, which is the good news, because if the trauma is what happened to you when you were a kid, or what happened to your son when he was very small, or what happened to me as an infant, if that was the trauma, there's nothing we can do about it because it happened. But if the trauma is what happens inside of us, those disconnections, that can be repaired. And that's what your program is all about.
It's about repairing the disconnect.
That's right.
And that's where I have found I need to start everyone, even before I start running lab tests and checking copper, because when I can help shift and help that connection happen, it already starts to change their biology. And so I'm sure this has been the same for you, where many people come and ask me like, well, how do I know that I've had trauma? And my question to them is, are you disconnected from yourself?
Yeah. Are you up in your head?
Are you up in your head? Yeah. Do you not actually want to be in your body? Do you not want to feel your body? Does that feel overwhelming to you? Because I'm looking for present day patterns, not some event that happened in the past.
And I think both you and I, in our approach to healing trauma, the past is important perhaps in understanding things, but dealing with the past doesn't help you. You have to deal with what's happening in the present in your body right now. That's where the, in your body, mind, what's happening right now. That's where the healing actually is. And that's what's so frustrating here, Amy, is that we're not just talking theory here. We're talking about people that we're not promising magic cures or panaceas, but in so many cases, whether it's multiple sclerosis or lupus or arthritis or depression or addiction or anything, People can do so much better if they only are guided to deal with their traumas and to become their true selves in the present moment, which is, I think, what your work is all about. And you must have seen the same kind of results, haven't you?
Yes, which for me as a medical physician trained in this workup, diagnosis, treat, trained in that model, the results have shocked me. Just like you, it's given me so much more hope and understanding of the body and how the body actually works. In the 21 Foundational Journey, we have these days where people have open shares. So they're able to share what is happening to them just as a result of the work that they're doing and connecting with the body, creating these different experiences for themselves. And people started telling me, sharing with the whole group, like, I got off my pain medication that I've been on for decades. My emotional eating pattern just disappeared. And I didn't even do anything consciously. Like, I didn't want to overeat anymore. Or another lady got off of her thyroid medication for hypothyroidism that she'd had since her early 20s. And she had an alcoholic mother. So all these things people were sharing, and I was like, could this be true? So I started studying it. Of course, like a good researcher, right? Like, I want numbers. I started giving them a survey before and after just to be able to measure this to make sure, like, are they not just saying these things to make me feel good, right? Like, I want to know for sure this is real. And I still do this. So everyone who takes the 21-day journey, I still do this study for them. They'll fill it out. The numbers that we're getting back are 26% decrease in daily physical pain.
This is in 21 days?
21 days.
Now, do you do a long-term follow-up?
So yes, there is the next three-week journey, which is the parts work. So we integrate parts work on top of somatic work for the next 3 weeks. So it really is a six-week foundational journey. And then we come in and there's an ongoing community where we meet three times a week for a time to connect with our body. And again, it's a guided exercise so that you're guided through that process. And that's our maintenance. And then I offer the biology courses for those who really want to dig into their biology. But even just in this process of safely opening up, safely learning how to connect with the body. And I use that word safely intentionally, because that was one of the mistakes that I made is for myself. Like, I jumped in too much, too fast, too deep, too fast. And I actually caused a lot of flare-ups in my health symptoms at the time.
Well, Peter Levine talks about titrating our intervention, doesn't he?
Yes, I had to learn that the hard way. because of course, being the personality that I had coming out of my childhood, I'm going to push myself all the way. More pain is better. And one of the lessons that I learned was actually the more that I push my body, the slower it goes in the trauma healing process.
Yeah.
So they have the decrease in daily physical pain, but their digestive system. So most people with trauma have some form of digestive symptoms because of the vagus nerve. And people were experiencing a 28% decrease in their digestive issues, 28% decrease in sleep issues.
By the way, again, this is where it gets frustrating. There's so much research connecting childhood trauma, for example, and irritable bowel syndrome or inflammatory bowel disease. But you go to the average gastroenterologist, they haven't got a clue. So people never hear about it.
No, it's very siloed. The digestive system is over here with the GI doctors. They don't even talk about the nervous system. They don't even talk about the immune system. They don't talk about anything else other than the digestive system. And in that siloed view, they're missing the big picture.
Missing the big picture, I think, is the big theme. And I think the work that you and I try to do, and certainly your 21-week program, is all about taking in the big picture, isn't it?
It is. It's taking that big picture and saying, this is what it means to have a healthy nervous system. This is what it means to actually be in our body and not be in our head. And here's the way to do that in a way that feels safe, that feels manageable, so that other people aren't jumping in too much, too fast, and being able to titrate the process and taking what has been unmanageable and making it manageable. Now, that doesn't mean comfortable, right? That means that there's still a level of discomfort of connecting with this body that I don't like. I haven't liked my body. I feel that it's betrayed me. I feel that it's let me down.
It's the other way around. Your body's trying to wake you up is what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
In the Myth of Normal, I have a chapter of the disease as teacher. I don't recommend people getting sick as a way of learning, but my God, those people that actually can take the illness not simply as a misfortune and an enemy, but as an attempt on the body's part to wake you up to who you really are and what your needs really are. So it's The body didn't betray them. They betrayed their bodies. They didn't mean to betray their bodies, but as a trauma response, they disconnected. And now the body's saying, please connect with me. Pay attention to me all over again. I have one more statement, question for you. This work that you're describing is all within the body and within the individual. And yet, as both you and I know, so much of people's stresses and traumas happen in a context. There's a reason, for example, why 80% of autoimmune disease happens to women. And I think that has to do with the role that women are culturated to undertake in this particular society of suppressing themselves and serving the needs of others. And those people are the ones who typically get autoimmune disease. Now, do you address those issues in your program? I'm saying for health, ultimately, you also have to make a change in your relationships to the world and what you take on and what you don't take on. What do you got to say about that?
This is one of the scariest parts for people, that I need to connect with myself, but connect with other people. Oh, like now you're talking about something that has been overwhelming, and I don't want to do that. I want to do this work in isolation. I want to just this be something that I can do on my own, or it's just me and my therapist. I'm not really forming a strong relationship with them, and it's a therapy relationship anyway. So what I have found is that people come to me, and the more high functioning they are, can I just work with you directly? I only want to work with you. And what I tell them is that if you want the best results, I need you to do this in community.
Yeah.
If you want the best results, I need you to do this in community. Now that community needs to be safe. And that's probably what you've never experienced. When they experience that, the opening up that happens, they get the best results when they do it in a sense of a safe community. So we do this as a group. We do this as a community, this 21-day journey, foundational journey. We do it as a group. And we also have very clear, I call them 5 agreements that we have from day one so that we keep it a safe group for people. One of those aspects, Gabor, is this idea that we can't go into the past to change what happened. And so why are we going to bring up events from the past or the stories from the past? What we do and what we learn how to do with each other is to stay in the present moment and share the experiences of, as I do this guided somatic exercise, what do I notice changing in my body? What do I notice in my stomach? What do I notice in my shoulders? What do I notice in the present moment? And most people have never done that. They've never even learned how to be present with someone else. It's a powerful shift that happens, not only because of the individual work that they do and the exercises that they learn that empowers them as individuals, that in the moment I have tools, but this idea of being able to experience a safe community, possibly for the first time ever.
Well, for sure, community. We know this, that a well-led community, it raises the energy level of everybody in a very positive way. That's all really great. In the Myth of Normal, I quote one study, just as one example. They looked at 2,000 women over a 10-year period. Those women that were unhappily married and didn't talk about their feelings were 4 times as likely to die as those women who are unhappily married who did express their emotions. But they also need to change their relationships to the world. In other words, they can't keep suppressing themselves. Like somebody does your program, but they still suppress themselves in their marriage. They don't learn how to say no, they take on too much of their partner's stuff. In other words, we have to guide people not just to be kinder to themselves internally, but to manifest that kindness to themselves in their relationship in the world. And they have to learn how to be more assertive, listen to their bodies, say no, and sometimes make some difficult choices about situations that may not be good for them. Now, do your students get to that point?
We do that in that second part. So the second 3-week course of the foundational journey, where we do it, the parts work.
Okay.
And we bring in these parts of, what are the different parts of me? I have a part of me that stays silent. I have a part of me that is a people pleaser. I have a part of me that puts everyone else's needs above my own. And then we get to bring in curiosity for those parts, but then work with those parts to change those patterns. Because you're exactly right. As we develop this relationship with ourselves, and perhaps for the first time, we're actually listening to what we need then we need to move into being able to express that to other people, not just hearing that for ourselves. That process, in my experience, requires working with the different parts of us that will be afraid to break a pattern that they've always had, that's always kept them safe. I integrate somatic and parts work. I know that's a little unusual to integrate those two, but I connect with the parts with different body sensations so that as we think about, well, what about having that conversation with that friend or that partner or your child, whatever the conflict, whatever the toxic relationship is, right. As you even just think about having that conversation, where does it show up in your body? Oh, like I get the twist in my gut or I get a lump in my throat. I feel my chest constricting. Okay. And then we work with that body sensation and we work with the part behind that body sensation to get curious about, well, why? What is it afraid of? Right. What has been its story?
What was it trying to protect?
What's it trying to protect? Yes. Yeah. And what does it need to do something different moving forward so that we don't continue living the same way that we've always lived? What does it need to do something different? And it's going to need, I come back to the essential sequence, it's going to need a felt sense of safety. How can I provide a felt sense of safety for that part to be able to do something different? How can I come in and provide a felt sense of support? I've got you. I've got your back. We can do this. We can make this change. And then there is the expansion. The expansion is doing something different than what we've done before.
It's interesting with the expansion. When somebody connects with themselves, there's an immediate expansion. They take a deeper breath. Their throat will open up. The shoulder, literally the body expands. So it is all about expansion. And what it means is that early in childhood, we had to make compromises in order to survive. We had to suppress parts of ourselves and deny who we really are in order to be accepted by others, in order to be attached. In childhood, we have no choice in the matter. Children's attachments are not negotiable. They can't survive without them. Then we get into this pattern where all our lives, we're still sacrificing our authentic selves for the sake of being liked and accepted and so on. At a certain point as an adult, we have to revisit that dynamic and ask ourselves, now, what do I really want? Do I want to be authentic or do I want to be attached? Ideally, we can have both. But if we can't, which would you rather have? And I always say to people, suffering is not optional in a certain sense. The question is, what kind of suffering would we want? Do you want the suffering of being ourselves and perhaps some people not liking that? Or do we want the suffering that comes from not being ourselves? And then our bodies have to give us all these terrible signals to wake us up. And I think that's where our work is really so confluent, is that we just want people to be themselves. And that's where health is.
And that's where the health is.
Yeah.
Anything else, and the body will manifest that, will express that, will communicate that.
Exactly. So ultimately, I think we're teaching people to really listen to their bodies. Not to see disease or symptoms simply as problems, but my God, when those things show up, you can learn. And I think both you and I have found that when people learn from them, they can heal.
And there's so much healing that is available, probably so much more than what they've realized.
Is there anybody that's beyond help? Is anybody so hurt that they can't be helped? I don't think so. What do you think?
Oh, that's a great question. And my line is that as long as you're still breathing and your nervous system is still alive and conscious, there's always a connection that can be made. And with a connection, there's always healing and expansion that happens.
Now, I've seen that happen. And I talk about this in this book. I used to work in palliative care. People that were terminally ill and they were not going to live. By the way, there's interesting examples that have been studied by people that both you and I know of people that are given terminal diagnoses and all of a sudden they get better and the illness goes away and the doctors say, what the hell happened? You know, well, what happened is that there's a powerful transformation that happened. But even with people with terminal illness, I've seen expansion where they weren't going to live longer or much longer, but how they lived and who they were. Again, I don't recommend this, but maybe you've seen it, but I've seen it. When people say, doctor, this disease that's taking my life is the best thing that ever happened to me. And not because I want to die, but because I connected with myself, and that's more precious than anything else. Have you seen that? Have people said that to you?
Yes, I've seen that a lot. And for me, in those moments, of course, I'm right there with that person. And then it also makes me think of all the other people. And Let's not wait until that point to realize that the most important thing is for us to live authentically and even figure out what that means.
Exactly.
Because again, for most people who've lived since childhood to a degree disconnected in order to protect themselves at that time, they don't even know what authenticity is. Yeah. They don't even know that they're disconnected half of the time, Gabor.
No, well, I didn't used to know.
Right? I didn't used to know. I was at a social event and this very high-functioning businesswoman who runs a major business in Atlanta, Georgia, from everyone else's perspective, she's got it all and she is on top of her game. When she found out what I did, she told me like, oh, I need your help so much. I protect my trauma well. And I said, oh, that's an interesting phrase. You protect your trauma well. That means to me that it's pretty stuffed down there. It's pretty buried and you've got your guards up. And how much energy must that take you to keep that trauma well protected? If you didn't need to do that and you could use that energy for other things, what would change for you? You know what she said? She said, I would be unstoppable. Imagine, right? Like she's at that level where other people already think that she's unstoppable. And yet she can sense in herself, no, like there is another level to me. There's another level of living life. That's what I want everyone else to tap into long before they get sick, long before they get to a terminal disease. Is like there's this whole other level of being alive.
We don't have to wait for the disease to wake us up. That's the whole point. But this person that you mentioned, I would venture to say she might be unstoppable, but if she keeps it up, her body's going to punish her at some point.
Absolutely.
And I think both you and I have seen, I've seen people really, by all the standards of the world, they're major successes. I've worked with such people. Recently, a letter retreat, the jewelry in the room would have bought, I don't know how many mansions, and people were just miserable in their lives and internally. Incredibly successful, good looking, by every measure of achievement out there in the world. I just took a 2-week sabbatical from the digital world. No emails, no cell phones, no internet, no YouTube, no nothing. And I tell you, I found out, I knew this intellectually, but I really experienced it. And I hope to hold on to this. Reality is not out there. At least don't define yourself by the reality out there. It doesn't matter what you've got out there. If here it's not coordinated, if it's not grounded, if your nervous system is not aligned with your gut, if your immune system is not aligned with your emotions, if your emotions are not aligned with your relationships, if your relationships are not aligned with who you need to be in the world, who you really are, you're going to suffer. There's quite a lesson for me is not to put the emphasis on what's going on out there. It all begins here.
It all comes down to the internal experience.
Yeah.
And can we even connect to that?
Yeah.
And if we haven't done that yet, that's where we need to start.
Which I think, to go back to your 21-day program, I think that's really the essence of it, isn't it?
It is. That's where I start everyone, even before lab work and the biology work now, because that's how important I have seen it is for setting the foundation for changing a person's health symptoms and, of course, their life and relationships as well.
So, doctor, do you have a practice yourself that you follow in your personal life?
Absolutely. Yeah. This isn't something where you can just do it once and then never have to do it again. Like this is a daily, I don't want to use the word practice, but I suppose I could. It's just like, this is how I live my life now. And now when I disconnect from myself, I feel it because it's so different than what I have become used to, which is being embodied, being connected and being attuned and listening and being in curiosity. And so when I lose that, and usually it's always because I'm responding to something in my external environment, right? And I lose that disconnect. Like I feel it and it actually causes me stress. And so that's my cue. It's like, oh, I need to step away. I need to go reconnect with myself first. So for me, it's become just so much of how I live every day, how I live life now, which is so different than all of how I lived life before until I did this work.
Yeah. Well, this 2-week sabbatical was really great to bring that home to me as well. I've not been so good at living what I teach. I'm much better at teaching than living in some ways. And it's happened to me that a lot of people say to me, I read your book and it changed my life. I said to myself, maybe I should read it myself, you know. I'm committed now. I'm actually committed to living what I teach.
And for me, I think because of the life experiences that I've had, first with Miguel, then with my own health, I teach what I live.
Yeah, good. Wonderful. And it's great to connect with you again.
Likewise. Thank you. And thank you for joining me for this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast, part 2 of the conversation with Gabor Mate on the connection between trauma and chronic illness. Please take a moment and rate this podcast with your 5-star rating. It does help people find perhaps exactly what they need to hear today about their body, illness, and, well, the biology of trauma. My hope is that you have been inspired by what is possible. If you have a chronic illness or health symptoms, it may be discouraging to still see yourself with symptoms and struggles. My love goes out to you, and I want to inspire you with the stories of so many who have still found tools and practices that have changed their life, even in their 70s, 80s, and yes, 90s, as they go through my foundational journey. No matter how much you have tried and all that you have done, there is still hope. There are still lessons that we can learn. I share and teach what I have personally experienced, not just studied. This has been my own life after adopting Miguel and then working with my own health. And I am still learning, growing, and expanding. In the show notes, there is a place for you to leave a comment about this episode specifically, and I will have helpful links for you as always. I will include the link to my guide on the steps to identify and heal trauma. This is how you can start to identify the patterns that would help you know, perhaps not only if you have stored trauma, but to what degree it is affecting your life, your relationships, and your health. In this episode, we talked about attachment for a bit, so I will include the link to an attachment trauma roadmap because attachment is regulation, and it is often the starting point for disconnection, dysregulation, and thus disease. I will include the link to the 21-day journey study results and the research that I am currently doing. It's exciting stuff to be able to contribute to the field and to see what is possible when we integrate the somatic work, the parts work, and the biology work. I will include the link to the foundational journey discussed in this episode and for you to see when the next group is starting for you to join me. And with that, I am your host, Dr. Amy, and until next episode, lots of love. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe. We definitely will learn, laugh, and sometimes cry together on this healing journey, and you won't want to miss an episode. Give my podcast 5 stars, share it with a friend or colleague. If you felt an impact as it truly helps get the word out and breaking the paradigm of how we do trauma work. I look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, this is your host, Dr. Amy, sending you lots of love.